I'm a helpful Southern California Honda person, and recently we've been doing random acts of helpfulness, like donating shoes to children in need and helping a music therapy facility with new instruments. And we can help you too with a great deal on an award-winning Honda, like the all-new and completely redesigned Accord, a car and driver 10 best a record 32 times. Click the dealer locator link to find a dealer near you and go to SoCalHondaDealers.com to suggest a random act of helpfulness for someone you know. Car and driver January 2018.
Hey, Suzette here. It's Saturday night, just past 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Starting a little late this evening with this broadcast, which is normally scheduled at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's good to be here. I'm always glad to be here with you folks, my listeners, tuning in from across the nation and beyond. It really is, you know, like-minded people. And if not like-minded people, then at least a different opinion to broaden the horizons, you know, different perspectives, always good. I would like to see more of that, hear more of that, welcome that, in fact. I'm going to issue an official open-ended invite to the show and express your alternative views. You won't be attacked. I may not agree with your views or thoughts, but I will respect them because they are not of collective thoughts, hopefully. If I start hearing talking points and so forth and not your mind thinking, then I might have a tendency to, I don't know, what? I can't say. I'm just kidding. You're welcome to come onto the show, give us your views, let us hear what you think and why you think. And yeah, so you're welcome. And until then, I will hang out with like-minded folks like you who are tuning in and who have tuned in the past and will tune in the future. So I appreciate and thank you for that. And now, 1974, Linda Ronstadt is going to kick off our topics for this evening with You're No Good.
Are you really? Are you no good? You're no good. baby, you're no good.
And we're back. That was Linda Ronstadt with her release of You're No Good in 1974. What a beautiful voice and a beautiful young woman. Chief from Simple Facts of Life.
I do appreciate you playing a song by the former alleged possible Mrs. Governor Moonbeam, if you remember way back that far, I believe.
Oh, yes. And she decided he was no good. Kicked him to the curb.
Is that who that song is about?
Thank you, Chief. I will be getting back with you here shortly. Thank you for your comments. Onward. Lead. Follow or get out of the way. On my blog talk page, there is a link to it. Actually says, here's how your senators voted on the government shutdown, which will take you to a website where you can find out the Senate shutdown votes. It breaks it down by individuals, by seating arrangement. Pretty cool. You just have to scroll down to the middle of the page. And rather than to make it a big issue of looking, it got it real easy. They have the nays marked with X's, the not voting with squares, and check mark for yeses. And it's in a horseshoe because that's how the Senate seats are organized. And you hover over it and it will give you the voting record for the last four voting patches for the appropriations bill and how they voted at that time. Exciting. Fantastic. All right. So my phone lines are lit up. I see you, Chief. I see Ron Reck from Crazy Nation Radio. I see in my chat room, I am the universe. Of course, there's Chief logged in as well, and we have guests that would rather be anonymous at this time, and that's okay. I'm just glad that you're here. Thank you for tuning in. So as far as the shutdown goes, drama, they're going to point the fingers at each other until someone gives. So I'm not going to go into it because there's no point in giving you my opinion about it because it's neither here nor there. They're going to do what they're going to do, and that's that. But I think Mitch McConnell needs to lead, because he's doing too much following. And the Democrats need to get out of the way so we can get this done. Some people want to attach it to the 2013 shutdown with the health care. They're similar and yet different, because there was something on the table at that time to vote on. Here, with this shutdown, there isn't anything to vote on as far as the DACA that the Democrats are asking for. There's no proposed legislation on the table to say, well, you won't vote on this or you won't attach it to the appropriation bill. No, there's nothing. They're just talking about it. So they're delaying life for a lot of people in a sense of uncertainty.
OMB is preparing for what we're calling the Schumer shutdown. It still surprises me, and I've been through some of these before, that the Democrats in the Senate are opposing a bill that they don't oppose. They're for clean CRs. They're for the extension to the CHIP program. Many of them support the delay in some of the taxes, most specifically the medical device tax, the Cadillac tax especially. They don't oppose anything in the bill, but they are opposing the bill. I just want to let everybody know that we don't want this. We do not want a shutdown. But if Mr. Schumer insists on it, he is in a position to force this on the American people. From an OMB perspective, because we're involved in managing a lapse or a shutdown, and we want to make folks understand that it will look very different than it did under the previous administration. One of the things that I've learned since I've been in this office is that there's no other way to describe it, but the Obama administration weaponized the shutdown in 2013. What they didn't tell you was that they did not encourage agencies to use carry forward funds that they were sitting on, nor did they encourage agencies to use transfer authority. They could have made the shutdown in 2013 much less impactful, but they chose to make it worse. The only conclusion I can draw is they did so for political purposes. So it will look different this time around. We've also got, we can ask for questions, take your questions about specifics on that. Mark Short is also here to give you a very brief update on where we stand, and then we'll take your questions for a few minutes. Go ahead.
If you haven't already figured it out, this is Mick Mulvaney, the Director of Budget, and as he said, Mark Short, who are at the White House press briefing answering questions about the possible shutdown. Let's continue.
Thank you all for your time this morning. As Mick said last night, the House passed a bipartisan bill with 230 votes. The president stands ready to sign that bill to keep the government functioning and afloat. It appears, unfortunately, that Senate Democrats are entrenched in forcing a shutdown. I think that there's obviously a lot of hypocrisy in this town. I think there's some ironies to point out. As the director said, Nancy Pelosi a couple years ago called them, quote, I call them legislative arsonists, in referring to those who are voting for a shutdown at the time, commenting that they're there to burn down what we should be building up in terms of investments in education and scientific research. Chuck Schumer said at the time, it's sort of like this. Someone goes into your house, takes your wife and children hostage, and then says, let's negotiate over the price of your house. In essence, that's the same tactic they're deploying. Last night, I'm sure many of you know, y'all asked Senator Feinstein her position, and she said, if the government shut down, people will die. And as a follow-up question, how's she going to vote? She said she hasn't decided yet. People are going to die. I don't know how I'm going to vote on this.
2013 shutdown went 16 days. Who knows how long this one will go. Hopefully it won't go that long, but you never know. If they were bold enough to even shut down the government, so to speak, over something they know is ridiculous, as to try and attach something that doesn't exist to legislation that must be passed by a certain deadline, they've lost their minds. Other asinine news being reported is five Democrats refused to go to the State of the Union that President Trump will be giving at the end of the month. Again, no real reason behind it. But who cares? Nobody's going to miss them anyway. In fact, they're going to be not so missed that I'm not even going to bother naming their names. Some of them have made it public already on, you know, the Clinton News Network and so forth, but who cares? Who cares? In fact, those seats can be taken by other people, better people. And not necessarily because they support Donald Trump, but because they support the President of the United States. Thank you very much. It turns out there was a young man by the name of Rick Taylor who sent out a tweet that went viral, who made it clear that if Maxine Waters didn't want to go, that he would gladly take her seat. Well, when asked in an interview on Fox if he had gotten his wish to take her seat or if she contacted him, she had not at that time. But it turns out that he's going to get to go anyway. He sent out another tweet. His handle on Twitter is Deplorable Vet. And he says, it's official. I'm going to the State of the Union Address with an exclamation. And it says, thanks to Representative for Wisconsin's 7th District, Sean Duffy, for personally inviting me and as his guest. And I'm extremely thankful for this. Couldn't have done it without all of you and Fox News and friends. So he gets to go. How thrilling. All right. Awesome. Cool, cool, cool. So some good news for a change, right? We could all use that. Okay, in other news, we have FBI agents texts suggest Loretta Lynch new outcome of FBI Hillary probe in advance. Yes. The Justice Department has given various congressional committees nearly 400 pages of additional text messages between two FBI officials who were removed from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and, you know, the Russian officials. One of the newly discovered messages, lawmakers said, that it appeared to indicate that Peter Strzok and Lisa Page knew that charges would not be filed against Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton as a result of the investigation into her email server before Clinton was interviewed by the Bureau. And, you know, maybe you've heard rumors about this. Nothing was confirmed. Well, now it's confirmed. Strzok and Page were pulled off the probe last summer. Not fired, just pulled off the probe, off the investigation. And after it emerged that some of their messages to each other included anti-Trump content. Now, Strzok, an FBI counterintelligence agent, was reassigned to the Bureau's Human Resources Division. After the discovery of an exchange of messages with Ms. Page, with whom he was having an affair. And we knew that, too. That was reported and, I guess, confirmed. Ooh. So, one exchange between Strzok and Page, dated July 1st, 2016, you might be interested in, it referenced the Attorney General Loretta Lynch's decision to accept the FBI's conclusion in the Clinton investigation. Lynch's announcement came days after it was revealed that the Attorney General and former President Bill Clinton had an impromptu meeting aboard the plane in Phoenix. You know, that little tarmac get-together about the kids and the grandkids. So Strzok text paged. That sounds funny. FBI, former FBI, or whatever he calls himself now, intelligence, Strzok is his name, text his girlfriend, Paige, his mistress there. Timing looks like hell, he says, in quotes. Yeah, that is awful timing, Paige texts back. She agreed. And in a later message, she added, it's a real profile in courage. Except it's spelled with a W at the end. It's kind of, she misspelled it. Since she knows no charges will be brought. So again, it's a real profile in courage. Oh, I see what she's saying. She's saying it should bring encouragement to Hillary Clinton to know that no charges will be filed. Duh. Oh, boy. Have another glass of wine. Hey, some steaks you just got to have the wine with, you know. Little Merlot with some filet mignon. Alrighty. So 4 days later, then FBI Director James Comey announced that no charges will be brought against Clinton, even though, as he put it, her actions in regard to the private server were extremely careless. So the chronology, June 29th, the tarmac summit. July 1st, Lynch announces she'll abide by FBI recommendation. July 1st, FBI agents mock Lynch announcement in text, stating she already knew or knows the outcome. July 5th, Comey's statement regarding or recommending no charges in Hillary email investigation. Let me read that. Wow. Okay. Chronology. June 29th, the tarmac summit. July 1st, Lynch announces she'll abide by the FBI recommendation. Again on July 1st, FBI agents mock Lynch announcement in texts, stating she already knows the outcome. Then on July 5th, Comey's statement recommending no charges in Hillary email investigation prefaces statement with this assertion that there is no coordination with DOJ and that they do not know what he was talking about or what he was about to recommend. Okay, so he's saying that the DOJ, Loretta Lynch, him and her have not been talking, Comey and Lynch, and so she has no clue what he was about to announce the first time around when he had that press conference resolving Hillary of any charges. And that happened on July 5th. On top of this bombshell, the FBI has admitted to failing to preserve 5 months worth of text between these two FBI agents. Is that right? How convenient is that? People should be upset about that. They really should, because this is the FBI and they are really, really blowing it right now. I wouldn't like to say other words, but I'm on air. It's a family show. So, yes, they're really blowing it. The FBI failed to preserve 5 months worth of the text messages exchanged between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, the two FBI employees who made pro-Clinton and anti-Trump comments while working on the Clinton email and the Russia collusion investigations. The disclosure was made Friday in a letter sent to the Department of Justice, to the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee. The department wants to bring to your attention that the FBI's technical system for retaining text messages sent and received on FBI mobile devices failed to preserve text messages for Mr. Strzok and Ms. Page. Stephen Boyd, the Assistant Attorney General for Legislative Affairs at the Justice Department, wrote to Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, the chairman of HSGAC, which is the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee. He said that the texts are missing for the period between December 14, 2016 and May 17, 2017. Boyd attributed the failure to misconfiguration issues related to rollouts. You know, rollouts, provisioning, and software, and upgrades, and conflicted, you know, with the collection capabilities of the FBI, yada yada. And if the revelation that Lynch likely knew in advance that Comey would recommend no charges was in the text messages, the FBI didn't lose, what on earth could it be in the ones that they did? Something to think about. Yeah, well, it doesn't take a massive, huge brain to figure that out. Just some common sense. Put the timeline together. Think about who's talking to who, who's meeting with who. And there you go. What's killing me right now is, where is the DOJ? Where is Jeff Sessions? Why isn't he doing something? Why aren't we hearing anything about it? Here we have Democrats all up and inside and over and under Donald Trump on the slightest hint that he may have interfered with the investigation, when he had talked to Director Comey, or former Director Comey, about General Flynn. Here we have text messages between people talking about what they did, or what they're going to do, or what has been done. And then a timeline, a specific timeline of messages. Just, sorry, the protocol and the software and the this and the that, gone. I don't know what to tell you. They're just gone. And now we also hear that the NSA erased surveillance data related to pending lawsuits report. Surveillance data, the National Security Agency's vowed to preserve related to pending lawsuits, has been erased. And the agency did not take several precautions it told a federal court it would take to ensure the data did not get deleted. Court filings reveal court orders from 2007 have required the NSA to maintain the data related to certain surveillance efforts that were under scrutiny. And after it was revealed, President George W. Bush directed warrantless wiretapping among international communications following the 9/11 attacks. The NSA has provided updates to the court regarding how it has followed up with the orders. But the NSA informed the U.S. District Court, Judge Jeffrey White, that the agency did not keep content of internet communications seized from 2001 to 2007 under the Bush administration in a filing Thursday night. And in a submission last year, according to Political, additionally, the NSA said backup tapes were deleted in 2009, 2011, and 2016. Quote, the NSA sincerely regrets its failure to prevent the deletion of this data, unquote. NSA's Deputy Director of Capabilities, referenced as Elizabeth B., said in a declaration filed in the fall, quote, NSA senior management is fully aware of this failure, and the agency is committed to taking swift action to respond to the loss of this data, unquote. Elizabeth B. Hey, yo, B, what's up? Come on, Elizabeth B., unless her last name is like B-E-E or B-E-A, I don't know. It's written in here in this article as a letter B. So we're just going to have to go with it, I guess, for now. And if that doesn't get cleared up soon, then we'll just have to make some noise. Okay, let's see. Onward with this article. Another NSA official revealed on Thursday the data had been erased during a large effort to create more space for new information. Violating a court order could mean civil or criminal charges, along with sanctions against those in the wrong. The news comes after Congress just approved the agency's legal authority to conduct a significant portion of its surveillance work for 6 years, known as Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Now, Section 702 permits the intelligence community to oversee foreign communications, but does not authorize the government to oversee Americans. What do you think about that, people? You got FBI bumbling fools losing missing information, NSA had erased unintentionally, supposedly, information, coordinating with the exact years that need to be seen, revealed, open, aired out. It's really upsetting. It's really upsetting. You know, I'm surprised I'm not an alcoholic, I tell you what, because you just want to bang your head up against the wall. What can you do? Especially if you've got the highest offices in the land conducting bad business, breaking the law, straight out breaking the law, because that would be destruction of evidence. knowing that they had to keep it. The court ordered it for the NSA. The court ordered the department, the State Department, not to do any to destroy theirs either. The court ordered the IRS not to destroy theirs either. And yet they're pointing a finger of nothing to the President of the United States. And you know why that is. Don't look here. Nothing here to see. Over there. Look over there. See the President? He said something, so now he's guilty. Guilty, 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 because he implied something. Don't look at those papers over. No. We're not done with them yet. When we're done with them, then we'll let you look at them. Oh, they accidentally got deleted. I'm sorry. You know, some sticky fingers. What can I say? Sorry. Ha ha. Yeah, so anyway, that's where we're at with that. I think it's...
So here we are. I think the reality is that this is not about policy. It's about politics, as Mick said.
Congressman Jim Jordan, he sits on both the Judiciary and Oversight Committees and has read what is being called a shocking memo, as you heard from Ed Henry's report. Congressman, good to see you tonight.
Good to be with you.
Can you, now, I know that you're all not talking
right.
about the classified information
yep.
that's in this four-page document that was put together by Devin Nunes,
yep.
which basically collates all of their investigation
right.
that he wanted all of you to see. You've read it. Do you believe that there is a crime in there committed by the DOJ and the FBI or members of those entities?
Look, what I believe is what my colleagues have said. What I've said is the American people need to see this. We want the journalists in this great country to see this. But mostly we want the American people to understand what the FBI did, how wrong it was. And again, we're not allowed to talk about it, but the last point Ed made is right on target. The committee can meet today, can meet tomorrow. If a majority of the committee votes to release this, it goes to the White House. The White House can say thumbs up or thumbs down. My guess is they're going to say thumbs up. And then it's out there, and the American people can see what took place at the highest levels of our FBI, at the highest levels of the Justice Department, that should not happen in this great name.
So what's the plan on that? Why didn't they meet today if it's so urgent?
Look, I'm for pushing for it. I give the Chairman Nunes a lot of credit. He has pushed hard. He's the one who put this memo together. We called for it a week and a half ago. Congressman Meadows and I and others said, make this available to Congress so we can see it. And then we think once we see it, that there will be such a demand, such an outcry for this to go public,
well, yeah,
that it'll go public. So I think that's building.
It has been made to Watergate, which was a scandal, an election scandal of digging into another campaign.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if this is worse than that, which is what Matt Gaetz of Florida has called it, it would draw a picture of an Obama administration attempt to derail the Trump campaign. Is that what's in these four pages?
Again, I can't talk about the specifics. It's why we're pushing so hard to get public, so we can talk about the specifics. But think about what we knew a long time ago. The Clinton campaign paid for the dossier. Think about those text messages from Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, where they talk about, remember the text message where they said, walking through Walmart, I can smell the Trump supporters, the derision they have for people who supported the anti-Trump bias, the pro-Clinton bias, and then think about the text message that talks about an insurance policy to make sure Donald Trump is not elected by the American
people. I hear
you,
but all of
all that is context.
Are, you know, you're allowed to not like the candidate. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're involved in a conspiracy to derail the
candidate. Peter Strzok who ran the Clinton investigation, the same Peter Strzok who interviewed Cheryl Mills, interviewed Huma Abedin, interviewed Mike Flynn in the Russian investigation, the same Peter Strzok who changed the now famous exoneration letter from gross negligence, a criminal standard, to extreme carelessness. That same Peter Strzok has said, I can smell the Trump supporters in Walmart, has that kind of attitude, and the same Peter Strzok, who's deputy head of counterintelligence. So that's all stuff we knew. But we can't, again, we can't get into the specifics of this memo,
this,
but that's why we went public.
Alan Farkas, who was a member of the Obama administration, who went on MSNBC and basically said, let's play what she said.
I was urging my former colleagues and frankly speaking, the people on the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
It was more actually aimed at telling the Hill people, get as much information as you can, get as much intelligence as you can before President Obama leaves the administration. So I became very worried because mm-hmm. not enough was coming out into the open, and I knew that there was more. We have very good intelligence on Russia. So then I had talked to some of my former colleagues, and I knew that they were trying to also help get information to the Hill.
All right, so their argument was that they had uncovered this collusion that we've been talking about forever, between the Trump campaign and Russia, and that they were so concerned with what they had found. And we know that they had lowered the bar for classified information so a lot more people could get their hands on it. They admitted as much in the New York Times article and in that interview. So they wanted to be sure that those tea leaves were still out there when they left so that it wouldn't get dropped.
So the unmask a bunch of names.
Is that part of
so
what
the
unmask we're
a bunch
talking
of
about
names. Again, I can't get into specifics, Martha, but the unmask a bunch of names, we do know that happened. We do know what Chuck Schumer said. Chuck Schumer said, if you go against the intelligence committee, almost sending a threat to the president-elect of the United States, if you go against the intelligence committee, they have six ways of Sunday to getting back at you. So we know that statement was made. We know the unmasking was done. And what do we also know? To date, not one bit of evidence which shows any coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia to influence the election. But what we do know is the Clinton campaign paid the law firm, who paid Fusion, who paid Christopher Steele, the author of the dossier, and Christopher Steele did what? Paid Russians for that information to accomplish what goal? Influence the election. That's the great irony here. So those are things we do know. When this memo goes public, I think it'll provide an even bigger and better picture for the American people to see how the FBI did what they did and how wrong it was.
Do you have all of the Republican members on the committee in favor of releasing the document?
That was the vote yesterday, yesterday morning, to make it available to members of Congress.
Right.
It was a partisan line vote, party line vote. Democrats all voted against it, of course. I believe they will. Chairman Nunes has done great work and is pushing hard to get it public. We're just asking.
Okay. And you may notice that there are only a few that want to make this public. Most of them do not. Speaking of the NSA, here they're referring to the FBI, but they're all intertwined together in some form or fashion. The FBI manages things here in the homeland as far as on our soil, and you got CIA and NSA who cannot legally, supposedly, unless you unilaterally go about things in order to perform things on our soil here at home. The whole surveillance thing with Trump, they said that they couldn't, or this MS-13 or MS-16 agent, okay, well, he's UK as a Russian spy or something. And the UK is our ally. So all we have to do is call them, their guys over there, and say, hey, we got something going. We got a handle on so-and-so. And we were wondering if you guys could keep an eye on him for us. And, whatever you find, toss it our way. We just need you guys listening in, maybe somebody tailing him, whatever, yada, yada. And so they'll send their agent to here. That's not illegal for them to do. It's not illegal for them to have us do for them as well, vice versa. People don't think about that. And it's important. There's always ways around things that people shouldn't be doing. And we give them way too much permission to walk all over us and intrude upon our lives. And then we have no room to complain. No room to... No, I'm not going to say the word, but... I'm going to behave. Sometimes I get too fired up about what's going on. You almost feel helpless. Where are you going to go? I mean, they'll even find you in the hills these days. That's getting to the point of being a no-go zone. And that's too bad. So Representative Ted Poe calls on Trump to postpone the signing of the FISA reauthorization until surveillance memo is released. He did this on Friday, just after the government shut down here. And it's reauthorizing, they call it Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act until the contents of the House Intelligence Committee memo on alleged surveillance abuses, comes out and the people can see it. I think the people should. He says, quote, "While I cannot comment on contents of the classified memo that the House Permanent Select Committee on intelligence released yesterday, we can say that we find its conclusions extremely concerning. Poe also said in a statement referring to the release of the report to the House members only after a party line vote within the intelligence panel. Now, Poe, who is not a member of the intelligence panel, added his voice to a chorus of fellow Republicans calling the memos fight opposition from Democrats. Really? That shouldn't be surprising, because they know more will come out. Just seems like every time they try and expose somebody else, that spotlight is right above them. Sometimes they have neon lights on their forehead, sometimes not, you know, but that light seems to be following them lately. It will come down the Republicans' way as well. But in this case, I don't think Donald Trump really considers himself either or. He's a man that wanted to become president, he says, because he wants to make America great again. So we're going to go with that. All right. Poe also says here, I believe that the information that is contained in the top secret memo would have been critical to know prior to the reauthorization of FISA members of Congress who voted to reauthorize FISA. So who didn't tell them? They knew they had it. That's not a good thing. Poe's request went unheeded. However, as Trump announced on Twitter Friday afternoon that he signed the bill. Trump last week complained yet again without proof about the Obama administration using the FISA provisions to justify the unmasking of members of his campaign who were caught up in the surveillance of foreign nationals, before changing his tune, one that reflected his administration's support for the reauthorization of the measure, which I don't know why he would be for it. So somebody's advising him in the wrong way. Because his thoughts on that during his campaign, during his candidacy, was to get rid of it. Or at least put some restrictions on them. They can't just have free rein like they do now. Do whatever they want, whenever they want. Unacceptable. And by golly, I have a say-so, or should have a say-so in it. And so should you. I am the universe in my chat room who had said, let's see, where did it start? Greetings. Okay. Hello. Yes, I greeted. Hi. talking to Chief. However, there must be accountability. Yes, I agree. I ain't mad, but I ain't stupid either. That's yes. As a lot of them think we are. I don't know why, probably because we are. We put our heads in the sand and we say, whatever you say, we're good with it. We sent you there. We know you're looking out for us. Yeah. Okay, so simple facts of life. Chief says personal liberty, personal accountability, personal responsibility. That's the motto of a show. Yes, it is. And I am says, not a bad motto. In God We Trust was formerly Mind Your Business. That's very true. Very true. And it was, I don't know why people decided, well, I fear. They were feared. They were caused fear about this or that. And you know what? Quite honestly, I'm going to say something here, and I don't care if I offend somebody or not, but this is my opinion. The things that have occurred in the countries in Africa, and I'm not talking about the asshole comments or Donald Trump or anything like that. You know, there's this issue, and you can't help it. Maybe it's something that was learned. There was a lot of violence. I was listening to another show. They were talking about the history and how they were trying to get their country back, the Africans. And they were like, in order to show some form of, you know, that they were fighting back, they started really getting busy fighting for their lives, basically, but they kind of took it a step forward
and over the line to where they had offered the people that they were fighting against head their husband's heads in boxes. You know, here's a box. Go get your box. Open the box. Oh, geez, a head. Okay. Oh, and it's my husband. Okay, great. Oh, so the fear carried on through generations. You've got somebody that looks different, somebody that's bigger, somebody that is as violent to chop off a person's head and then give it to you, a loved one. You think, what kind of a person is this? Insanity. So now they're coming, being brought over to live basically next door, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, ugh, I got to protect my kids, I got to protect this, I got to protect that. And the fear just carries on. And then pretty soon it goes down so many generations that people don't even realize why they have that tension, that anxiety. Some people more than others, but it's because it's, I think anyway, it's been carried on. It's a learned behavior and you can't help it. When you see, if you think about it, you can have two huge corn-fed people, one black, one white, both kind of scary looking, but if you had to choose to work with one or ask one of them a question, you would be less intimidated by the white. What can I say? There's something that was, you know, and it can't, that's just the way I think it happened as far as the whole white and the black thing and people's fear of the black man, because I think whites can be just as violent if they want, you know, I mean, basically it's a thing. Now that part, as far as the violence, you know, that's a mental thing, excuse me, but, so why is it important for us to know this? Is it important for us to read that memo, or do we trust them? I mean, they had to go in behind closed doors. They could not remove it. They couldn't take their phones. They couldn't take pictures. They couldn't take notes. Mal, I, the viewer, says, also my general philosophy of life and society. Ah, very good. That was actually an alternative to In God We Trust, Mind Your Business. You're the Federal Reserve's. God is Mammon. I'm on. I, people, got guns, Maine. Okay. I'm not making sense. Okay. Guns say a whole lot. Yes, they do. Who said all government comes from the end of a barrel? Mao. Chief answered that. Well, Mr. Mao, obviously we knew what he was talking about. Don't need to tell me twice. I fully comprehend. Makes you think. Some of these comments and some of what I said as far as, you know, our country, where we've gotten to or where we're at. I mean, if you want any privacy, you have to basically move into the hills to get it. Go off the grid. And even then, it's not as complete as it should be. The government wasn't there when you were born. The government wasn't there when you were conceived. I don't see why the government needs to be there in everything that you do, just like a parent, you know, divorced parent, and the wings there, constantly, you know, hovering, making sure, oh, you're okay. Take care of my damn self. I'm an adult. It can be so condescending and elitist type mentality. I've actually heard congressional members when confronted with something that they disliked. Do you know who I am? I am a U.S. senator. I am a U.S. representative. And you work for me. No. Did you not hear me? I am a U.S. senator. I did hear you. You work for me. How much plainer can I be? This is Senator so-and-so. I'm calling to make reservations at. Why can't they just say who they are? Why do they have to throw that title in front of them? It's no longer what it used to be at one point. It's a career and not a calling anymore. It used to be a calling, a service, serving the people. There was a time when people had elected a person to a seat, and they actually contemplated not taking it. And that was because they may have been making too much money doing what they were doing for a living in business. But because it was an honor to serve the people, you know, some had contemplated for a while, some, all right, I'll do it. It's only 2 years. And they accepted that calling, and they took it with great responsibility. And I'm not saying there wasn't any corruption or shenanigans going on back then, but nothing like it is now. Nothing. The mentality from then till now, night and day. Night and day. It almost makes you sick. But I can only speak for myself. Too bad. It really is. But it's never too late. Unless you're under the ground, you know, 10 feet, pine box. Unless you decide to turn back to ash to ash. So pay attention. Pay attention, pay attention. Know who your representatives are. Do not be afraid to call them. Do not feel intimidated to call them. Oh, but they're in Washington. They're too busy. Well, what would I say? I don't even know what I would say. If your neighbor was doing something that you supported or wanted her to support, you know, a cause or something, you could call her up and say, hey, Jane or Jim or whoever, I got this thing going on here, and I was wondering if you wouldn't mind supporting it. So grab your pen and pencil, paper. I'm going to give you a phone number to call Congress. Number is 202-224-3121. And if you're on Twitter, if you think about it any time between now and whenever they decide to release that memo, send a tweet out. Hashtag release the memo. We'll be right back after this short break.
Welcome back.
Alrighty. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, I apologize for the technical difficulties. Gosh, you got to be total sheltered in an igloo of eggshell or something to not know. I mean, geez, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? But that's that. Here we are. I'm going to open up Chief's line here, promote his show. People can tune in and listen. We've also got caller 11111. And Chief, do you have any comments, first of all, about what I talked about? And if not, you have the floor to tell us about your show.
Well, I offered to give you a little, because I wonder about this release, the memo. What is it that is so secret about it, other than trying to protect the people involved? And that to mind, one of the things, I had something happened with me many, many years ago involving classification, because we used to get messages up to the bridge of the ship I was on through a bunny tube, and one came up that was classified secret. This is so long ago, I'll tell you what was in it. It was an announcement about the war between Iran and Iraq, just back in the 70s. And I happened to take this message, and I was reading it out loud. I was giving it. Mm-hmm. I said, "Well, you couldn't be reading that." But the message basically was, according to news reports, Iran has invaded Iraq, or Iraq had invaded, whatever it was. And why was that classified? Because insofar as it was, the information came from public news reports. And the only thing that I could think of was that was talking about the fact that would sort of reveal the fact that the United States had no intelligence assets available to get to verify the information. And so when it comes to sources and methods, and I'm wondering, that's what they're using to try and keep this memo classified, is not the information in it, but how it was obtained. So I'm wondering what that is. That's what doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Well, it's a top secret memo that has been released to the members. Apparently it has characterized Barack Obama as the vengeful narcissist and alleges surveillance abuses by his administration that one representative likened to the work of Russia's KGB. I'm going to say Russian thing again. But the document released to members by the House Intelligence Committee centers on controversy over unmasking and FISA surveillance. They've been abusing their powers. And so basically, if Obama had told them that he wanted certain people watched or, you know, surveilled, then they would do it. And to what extent,
I'm just wondering what,
we won't know until that document's released.
Methods, what sources and methods are in there, would be involved in this, that it sounds to me like they're using this national security intelligence sources and methods as a smokescreen, because I can't see what the surveillance was, how they would have gotten this information other than straight out of within the government. It's not like, you know, hey, well, we got Vladimir Putin's phone line tapped and we don't want anybody to know that that's how we're getting the information. I don't,
right.
When you're talking about unmasking and such, no, it's Director Joe told Agent Fred, hey, surveil this person. There's no sources and methods involved in it. It's just who did what, and it seems to me that they're trying to protect themselves, and they're using classification to do it, and I call BS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apparently, this former Secret Service agent and former congressional candidate, Dan Bogino, had said, take it to the banks. The FISA, the FBI FISA docs are devastating for the Dems, whatever that's supposed to mean. So I don't know if it's more political games, you know, hype. I guess we'll find out. I don't know. They're still talking about it. But I don't, you know, earlier in the week, it was not classified as top secret. It was like above classified, but it wasn't, because they have those different levels of classified and top, you know, top secret is top secret, but you have classified and classified and unclassified, depending on the sensitivity of the information. But yeah, so anyway, we'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
Did you know the documents are printed on different colors of paper depending on their classification?
With watermarks.
Let me see. When I was in the Navy, if it was confidential, it was printed on pink paper. Secret was on green. And top secret was yellow.
Yes. And you know what? Thank you. I couldn't think of the word confidential.
If you're digging through the trash, that you know which papers to look for. Look for the yellow stuff.
Then grab a pencil and try and see if you can shade in the imprint to get the message. Oh, goodness. Well, my show is over. We're in overtime, actually, so we can't hear. Nobody else can see or hear us. We're all alone.
Yes,
we
have our sources and methods here, so we can talk quietly. Only the people on the phone can hear. Or if you leave it in, people who might listen later on can hear. And for the people who are listening later on, why are you listening to this show later on when you could be listening to live to Simple Facts of Life Radio, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, Sunday night?
All right. And caller 11111, are you there? Do you have a show? Do you want to promote it? Or do you want to go? Oh, boy. I guess that's it. What's your topic for tomorrow, Chief?
I think I'm going to give my take on government shutdown and a lot of the same stuff you talked about, because that seems to be what's in the news. And, of course, I don't see things like a normal human being, so maybe I'll have something a little different.
Well, not to mention, of course, you have a different perspective coming from the military as well, retired military.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I worry about the government shutdown because my big concern, of course, is does my check come at the first of the month? It is actually almost. I get paid once a month. It's once a month,
oh.
I think. I don't know. You have to talk to Mrs. Chief. She knows when the money comes in. I don't know. People always ask me, well, gee, you're retired military. Why are you working 60 hours a week driving a truck? And I make like at least three times as much driving a truck as I get from the government. So, yeah.
Yeah. Could you like to live a life other than just in a cardboard box, you know, buying cat food?
Yeah, that's about what I would get if I tried to live on my pension.
In California, heck yeah.
Yeah, it's not as much money as people think.
Oh, well, you moved from California. You were lucky, so now you can keep some money in your pocket.
Yeah, well, now I live in the People's Republic of Oregon. I'm actually in Hershey, Pennsylvania right now.
Oh, my. Wow, you're way out there. Across
yeah.
the states.
Well, first time I ever called into a radio show, I mentioned, you know, I was in Hagerstown, Maryland, and who was it? It was Mark Davis out of Dallas. He was doing a national show at the time, and I said I was in Hagerstown, Maryland. I said, well, I actually live in Portland. I drive. He said, "Oh, that's a long way from home." And I said, long way from home is where the money is.
Mm-hmm. That's how it works out sometimes.
Well, they had to pay me to get this far, and they're going to have to pay me to get back.
Cha-ching.
Ka-ching. I need a ka-ching on my soundboard. I don't have one.
That's a new one I look for now. Well, thank you for joining me this evening, and thank you, other caller there. And I know the universe has left because the chat room closed by itself. Isn't that interesting? But if they play it back, then thank you for coming tonight. Okay, folks, I guess that's it. We wrap it up. And that's a wrap for, I don't know. You know what? I'm going to do a show this week. There's something else I wanted to talk about. So tune in. Tuesday. We'll go for Tuesday. 7 o'clock. Not necessarily government stuff as in today, but government stuff as in back in the day. Some history lessons to learn, especially for our youngsters. And I'm not talking millennials, they're a lost cause already. But the younger ones, they need to know about our history. They need to know that once upon a time, anybody could be president. Anybody could do whatever they wanted to as long as they put their mind to it. And if they want to live in that kind of America where government is minimal, they're running amok right now. Why? Because they're so big. They're so inflated. They're huge, bulging. Nobody knows what anybody's doing or even why this agency even exists anymore in general. So anyway, Tuesday night, 8 p.m., Suzette Live Talk with me, Suzette LT. See you then. Until then, have a great week. Listen to Simple Facts of Life tomorrow night at 9. Thank you, everybody.
Let's see. What key was that again? Oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm a helpful Southern California Honda person, and recently we've been doing random acts of helpfulness, like donating shoes to children in need and helping a music therapy facility with new instruments. And we can help you too with a great deal on an award-winning Honda, like the all-new and completely redesigned Accord, a Car and Driver 10 Best a record 32 times. Click the dealer locator link to find a dealer near you and go to SoCalHondaDealers.com to suggest a random act of helpfulness for someone you know. Car and Driver, January 2018. Hi, I'm a helpful Southern California Honda person, and recently we've been doing random acts of helpfulness, like donating shoes to children in need and helping a music therapy facility with new instruments. And we can help you too with a great deal on an award-winning Honda, like the all-new and completely redesigned Accord, a Car and Driver 10 Best a record 32 times. Click the dealer locator link to find a dealer near you and go to SoCalHondaDealers.com to suggest a random act of helpfulness for someone you know. Car and Driver, January 2018.
It's time to take a break. We will be right back right after some Linda Ronstadt, 1974.